want to take you on a bit of a different journey to the cross tonight. It begins with the psalmist who in Psalm 22 verse 1 begins with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want you to think back over the past couple of weeks or past week, and how would you answer these questions? Where do you look when the people of Brussels are looking for answers into the terrorist attack? When an addiction is overtaking your life, where do you turn? When, like the family of Rob Ford, your life is turned upside down and you need to explain the questions with death to a little child. When your thoughts and your attitudes of fear grip your life, what do you say? You see, your answer to those questions will be how you define life and what's really important to you. But let's go to the ultimate question that every human being has in life. What is the meaning of life? Where do I look for hope and for life? For the sense that I truly belong. It's either that deep, long searching for God, or on the other side, it's, God, I know you're there, but where are you? My God, where are you? It seems as though you have forsaken me. There's a man named C.S. Lewis who in the 1940s wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. In there, a young guy with all the answers had thought about it philosophically and biblically, and he wrote this book called The Problem of Pain, and in it he articulated the tough questions of life, and ultimately was left with the question, where is God? Some time passed, and he never thought it would ever happen. He didn't want it to happen. But he met this young lady named Joy who lived in the United States, and they fell in love. And with him in England and her there, they built this relationship, and he was falling more and more in love with her. But she ended up getting cancer, and it was bad. And he couldn't imagine life without her, and he proposed to her. And while they were planning the wedding, she was miraculously healed. For 2 years, they traveled around the world and they wrote together, and the cancer came back. And it came back quickly and it came back hard. And she died. And so he wrote this book called A Grief Observed. And he was left with this question, where is God? Why has God forsaken me? It's the same guy who wrote the book called The Narnia Series, where this lion comes in and he is the savior of the young people, a picture of Christ, where the lion is ultimately sacrificed. And again, 3 days later, it comes back to life. But don't get to that part of the story too quickly. And he's left with the question, where is God? Sometimes that's our question, isn't it? Maybe tonight that is our question. Because it's David's question in Psalm 22. This is what he says. I am scorned and despised by all men. Picture it. We just had Sunday. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we heard it in what Carmen read. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Give us Barabbas. My God, why have you forsaken me? We hear that in the crucifixion story, don't we? I'm poured out. All my joints are out of joint, the passage says. I can't help tonight but picture Jesus on that cross with his arms extended and each breath was a deep gasp as he lifted up his body. His very flesh would tear. and the pain would be so clear. And then you hear him say, I thirst. And there at the bottom of the cross, you can picture the mockery and the humiliation as they rolled dice for his clothing. To see who may have the clothes of the one who called himself the King of the Jews, the Messiah. The cry is startling, isn't it? This is the one who the Father said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. This was the Son who did everything his Father had ever asked. Can you picture it? The Father now turning like this to his Son. He couldn't look at his Son. Picture the one who he called Abba, Daddy, Father, in the story of the crucifixion is now in front of God, that the judge who wanted sin to be paid for. It's something so different than everything they had heard before, where God seems so far away. They had heard the story of God and his grace and his mercy and his love. When they made their cry for Egypt, God showed up. When their children were being thrown into the Nile, God showed up. When they stood at the shore of the Red Sea, God showed up. When they were in the wilderness and they needed food and water, God showed up. When the invading armies were there, God showed up. But here is the very Son of God, and God turns his back towards his Son. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those are profound words. I don't know if you've ever thought about them before, but the Son being forsaken by his Father because he becomes sin for us. Tonight is not about something that happened a few thousand years ago. Tonight is about us. And that Jesus comes and he goes to the cross. He's rejected by his Father because of our indifference, our greed, our gluttony, our pride, our blasphemy, our idols, our dependence on self rather than on him. He's rejected by God, by his Father, because he is the Holy One. And if you read the scriptures, you'll know that God can't stand sin. And when Jesus says to his Father, I've got it covered. I'll take the sin of everyone in this room. I'll take the sin of the whole wide world. God, I'll take it. God, the Father, needs to turn his back on his Son. Because he became sin for us. My God. Not why, or not my God, why have you forsaken me? Is not our cry. It's my God, you were forsaken for me. That I might have hope, as David does, as C.S. Lewis does, as the people today in Brussels do, as the family of Rob Ford does, as you and I need in the midst of our doubts and our fear. Tonight, the one who was forsaken invites you to the cross to experience hope. The one who was forsaken invites you to the cross tonight to experience forgiveness, to be able to let go of those things that we hold on to, because if God forgives me, then I might need to forgive. He invites us to the cross. What happens if we let go of that thing that we've been holding on to for maybe years? God says, bring it to the cross. My flesh was torn. My blood was shed for it. Come to the cross and experience grace. So why? Why did Jesus need to be rejected by his father, abandoned by his father. Because if this didn't happen, you and I would still be in sin. We wouldn't know salvation. We wouldn't know hope or love or grace or joy. We wouldn't be able to stand in those moments like C.S. Lewis, like David, and maybe like ourselves tonight. But it's because of the cross that you and I can truly live. One of my favorite songs is an old one. It's called When Peace Like a River. It's written by a guy named Horatio Spafford. And I'll just give you one verse of it. It goes, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow and sea billows roar, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say. And here's what I love. It is well with my soul. Here is a man who is sitting out in a boat where his wife and his three daughters had drowned but days earlier. You see, that leap doesn't happen because of an intellectual thing that happens in our lives. It happens because of grace. It happens because of God and grace and mercy and its hope. And it's there in that story of Horatio, of C.S. Lewis, and of David that God invites you and I to the cross. And by you and I descending to the foot of the cross, we are able to ascend into hope and to mercy and into life. And so tonight I want to invite us in a variety of different ways to come to the cross. To come to the cross, maybe with our wrestling and our fear and our doubt, and give it to God. Maybe tonight it's we come to the cross and saying, God, I've tried it on my own. I need a Savior. I need a Messiah. Life isn't working out for me. I can't do it on my own. I need you to save me. But maybe tonight it's you and I coming to the foot of the cross and simply saying, Lord, I've said I love you, but tonight I want to follow you. I want, as we sang early, with unashamedly, unbashfully, with all that I am, I want to serve you. Because it's there on the cross, because he was abandoned by his father, that you and I might be able to have life. And I want us to rest in that story tonight. Don't rush too quickly to get to Easter, because let me give you a little hint about Easter. That first Easter, they were behind closed doors. They were afraid. They didn't understand. And in fact, for 40 days, Jesus came back and he explained to them and he taught and he showed them over and over again. We know the rest of the story, and it's exciting and it's wonderful. But it's here in the uncomfortableness of the cross and of our sin that we need to rest. And as we rest in that tonight and tomorrow, that it'll make Sunday all the more exciting. So tonight, as we hear Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Hear these words. It was for you, and it was for me, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray. God, we owe you everything. And yet tonight I know that as we come, there are some of us who aren't sure that this Jesus thing is real. And we're trying to make sense of it all. Lord, I pray that at the foot of the cross tonight, you may be doing something within us. That story might become more clear. And that we'd look at the lives of those who have made that profession as a follower of Christ and see the difference that Christ makes. How there is a life of victory and peace and contentment and joy that we can have tonight too. But Lord, I also realize that tonight as we come, there's stuff that we don't want to admit is in our life and in our story. And so tonight, Lord, in the quietness of our own hearts, we bring those things to the foot of the cross. And we ask not only for forgiveness over them, but victory. And Lord, we come tonight as well with thankful hearts that you were willing to be faithful to the plan of your Father. That you were willing not only to come into this world, but you were willing to die for us, for me. That I may have a relationship with you. That I don't need to be riddled with guilt about my past. Because you've taken care of it. That I can look forward to a future with you for all of eternity. And we thank you for that because of the cross. But Lord, there in the tension between now and eternity, we thank you that we will never be forsaken by you. And that you will hold us. You will sustain us. You will give us the breath to carry on. Because if you were willing to die for us, you will lead us home. Thank you for Good Friday. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for giving your life for us. That we would not only be forgiven, but that we'd be made new as well. Amen. I want to invite you as we walk into communion to stretch out your hands and to look at your hands for a moment.
Hands that want to harm others. Hands that serve. Hands that hurt. Hands that have regret.
Could we remember our Lord's death and see how he was crucified for our action and for our apathy? A people like ourselves, and to remember it was for us that Jesus died. And to think about the burdens that threaten others and offend God. Can we give them over to him?
Jesus is the one who said, "Give me your burdens." And Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We will lay down our burden.
I'll lay down my burden.
I'll lay down my burden and lay it at the foot of the cross. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I lay my life for them. There is no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I have commanded. Whoever believes in me, I will never turn away. Whoever has faith even in me, even though he or she dies, we will live forever. Now I am going to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God, but I shall come back and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
I would like to invite those who will be serving to come, because all things are ready. As we serve communion, we will ask that you wait till everyone has been served so we can all participate together. And if you are in need of a gluten-free option, we ask that you make yourself known and we will ensure that you receive that. Tonight, we remember what Jesus has done for us. And so as we look at this piece of bread, we are reminded of the last dinner Jesus had with his disciples before he died. And after he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you in complete remission of all of your sins." People of God, as you partake, take, eat, remember, and believe that Jesus died for all of our sin. They not only ate together, but they drank together. And as we partake, we remember that Jesus' blood was given for us. It was for you that he was rejected. It was for you that he was forsaken. It was for you that he shed his blood. It was for you that he gave up his very life. Take, drink, remember, and believe the good news of the gospel. And with that, Jesus gave up his last breath. It is finished. Go and rest in his grace.